I'm honored to present Cap.
My name is Cap, I'm an alcoholic. And my sobriety date is May 10th, 2000. And the Fifth Tradition Group is my home group.
All right.
And so there's that. Let's see. Where to start? I was born, you know, like that. You know, people start to go that way. It's like, you know, it's going to be long. I was raised in Southern California in the San Fernando Valley, and if you know anything about the Valley, it's different than any other part of California. You know, I mean, people in California joke about people from the Valley, so. You know, I go visit people, and I wasn't aware of this. You know, I go to, like, Santa Monica or something. Where are you from? He's like, oh, I'm from the Valley. And they go, oh, I'm sorry. You know. But my first drink that I recall was at a friend of mine's house in his garage. And we had beer, and we drank, and I didn't feel anything. But we smoked pot, and I did feel that. And so, but that was like the beginning of feeling like I, you know, discovered something I wanted more of this, you know. And then my sister got married, and they had a champagne fountain when I was, I don't know, maybe 13 years old or something. And you know, my mom said, go ahead, drink, you know. And I thought, man, this, you know, I've been hiding, drinking a few beers and smoking a little pot here and there, and now it was okay to drink, you know. And I just, man, I love my mom and my sister and her new husband. And I remember leaving, and I'm swaying and talking, and my folks were just like, get me in the car. And that's all I really remember is the fountain and walking away. And I wanted more of that, you know. I just... And so I did, you know, every weekend I could, and whenever I could, I would drink, you know. And I preferred drinking after a while. I smoked pot for a period of time, and although I liked it, I remember, you know, I was sitting, I had this rocking chair in my parents' house, and, you know, there was an aquarium, and I had a Bose headset, and music, and the windows over here, and this rocking chair, you know, and I looked up one day, and like 3 years had passed, and I thought, my God, I got to get out of this chair. And so at 16, I committed fully to drinking, and got on with that. And it was much more social, you know, at least I thought it was. I felt like, you know, I could, you know, talk better and be a better friend and all that kind of stuff. And I was having some trouble already. Like at 15, you know, my parents kicked me out of the house, and I couch surfed for I don't know how long, you know, a few months. I think I was 16 or something. You know, when I asked if I could come home, and they were like, well, yeah, if you go to AA, you know, because your drinking's out of control, you know. And this is 16 years old, so I agreed. Go to AA, and I went to this place called The Hole in the Sky in San Fernando Valley, if any of you are familiar with The Hole in the Sky. And it used to be a pretty neat place, two-story building, and I remember going in there, and, you know, and everybody was dressed kind of nicely, and I wasn't. And this lady came up to me after the meeting, and she said, you know, you might be more comfortable at The Nest. So there was this place called The Nest. On the corner of Reseda Boulevard and Sherman Way. And it was another two-story building on a corner, and it was bikers and street people, and you know, I remember Tuesday night or something, it was just nothing but motorcycles, and it was like the biker meeting kind of. And then it was a mess, you know, because it was a really good example of of a bunch of people that were young that were trying to get better in that time period, you know, and there's not a lot of people getting better, and I was included. So about 3 months, I decided I didn't really need to live with my parents anymore, and left and got drunk and got a job. Nobody would have hired me, but I had a friend of mine's dad, and my friend was just as bad as me, so I got hired as a... this construction work, and I loved it, and I was doing other stuff on the side that I liked too, and it was good because I could work for him, and I could tie it on with his son, and we'd come in hungover, and he was okay with it for the most part. Or what I found out quickly is that if we did anything illegal, I went to jail and he got bailed out. And so I didn't want to go to jail, you know, so I didn't, I tried to, you know, I let him go ahead and, I kind of stayed away from kids that were out there, you know, doing stuff, getting locked up. I just didn't have any interest in that at all. And I moved in with this girl, and her parents, her mom, it was kind enough to take me in. And she had a sister and two brothers, and of course that lasted for a few years. And, you know, and then she finally got sick of it, you know, and kicked me out. And I was 19 years old, heartbroken, you know. And I'm just going to go back to AA and get it together. So I go back, and about 3 months pass, and her and I get back together. You know, I'm like, you know, we spend the night together, and I get up in the morning, and I think, jeez, what do I want to be with her for? And then I quit AA, got rid of her, and drank, you know, and at 21 I ended up in an alley in a car, and the bums commandeered my car, and so I couldn't even be in my car. I thought I should go back to AA because, you know, I was on the street pretty much. I really tried to, you know, I just couldn't work, and wasn't looking good, you know. And I was sleeping in the bushes. Friends kind of gave up, you know. For a while, they would let me couch surf, but at some point, they were just, you know, if you're not getting better, nobody wants to help, really, you know. And that's it's no different around here, really. It's like people will help you all you want, you know, if you ask help and you want to get better. But, you know, if you don't, then people, what can you do? You know, you can't do anything. So that's the way all my friends felt. And I went back to AA. And I knew AA worked, even though there was short periods, you know, it's like a very short period of time I would not drink. I knew it worked. I knew that I went to AA, I didn't drink, and I didn't use any drugs. So I sat in the back of AA meetings, and I got into a bike club. And it was kind of a sober bike club, but because there was people in AA that went, that were part of this club, and so I had a fellowship there, you know, and I went to AA and kind of sat in the back, never really wanted to get involved. I didn't really dig this whole 12 steps and, you know, the God thing, and all that just freaked me out. I felt that if I went to AA, they were going to want me to stop sinning, you know, and that if I connected to God, that's the way it was going to be too. And I wasn't, and I was going to be sinning, you know. So I mean, this is all going on in my head, right? It's not like I have a sponsor and I'm trying to work through this stuff. I'm sitting in the back with my mind reeling on these things. And I had a couple of sponsors during that time period. I took a fifth step with a guy, I remember, and he never talked to me again. That's not encouraging, you know. It's not like you want to... It's like, hey, so how you doing? It's like... kind of like... So, you know, like it was like many other... I've seen it happen around here. You know, people, they get a sponsor, and for some reason or another, it doesn't work out. And they don't get another sponsor. And So that's what I did. I kind of just sat around, and I was hoping to get enough suggestions to stay sober, but I just wasn't interested in doing AA. You know, I really wasn't. So it wasn't that AA failed me or anything like that. I never really gave it a chance so it could work, you know. And I didn't drink for probably 8 to 10 years. I don't really remember. But it was a long time. And I do remember people would call on me in AA meetings to tell my story, but it wasn't because there was great things going on, you know, so that sponsors could go, see what happens? Get involved, you're going to be like that. And what happened was I quit my construction job, and my part-time job became my full-time job, and I moved to New Mexico. And so I quit that club, and I didn't know anybody, and I was working long hours, and I was making more money I ever seen in my life. And I got together with my ex-wife, and I thought, this is it, you know, this is the key. If I, you know, I could probably control my drinking now, you know, because my life is in order. So now it probably wouldn't have, I wouldn't have been able to tell you that. It kind of gradually worked into this ideal. And then it was no surprise to me when I drank again, but it was to some friends of mine. Excuse me. And so I tried that for 7 years. You know, tried drinking, and I was successful, and successful at what I was doing. But my ex-wife kind of was, you know, she took care of everything. She was handling the books, the banking, the you name it. You know, because I wasn't really, you know, that wasn't anything I was capable of really doing. And I was dying. At about at 38, I was sick. I was on antibiotics all the time, and I felt like I was dying. I was kind of at the height of my career. You know, at that time, you could pick up a magazine anywhere, for in the trade I was in, you could see pictures of my work or me working. Or I was invited to be part of this TBS special, and you know, I was in Brisbane, Australia, and people were like, "Didn't I see you on TV last week, mate?" You know, and yet I just couldn't, I couldn't stop. You know, I couldn't stop drinking. And so I came back to AA, and I thought it would be what I always thought it would be. You know, I mean, what I thought AA was and what it is, it just wasn't. And I got a sponsor, which was different, because I never really did that. And he kind of introduced me in a different way to AA. And for that, I'm grateful. I knew all the, you know, cliches and all the sayings, and people would talk in meetings, and it would make me want to spew, you know, like I just couldn't stand the rhetoric and all that, you know. I didn't want to be one of those people that, you know, was Tomatron repeating things, you know. And this guy, you know, I mean, no different than probably any other sponsor that when you really want help, you know, I mean, when I really wanted help, it was there. And it probably would have been that way all along. But so he kind of ran it down to me in a way that I could hear, like my language. And he didn't use all that. He didn't use the 90 and 90 and all the stuff I used to be hearing. You know, he was saying, well, just go to AA as much as you can. You should try to go every night if you can. Be good. And I did. Not only did I go every night, I went like, you know, probably two times a day for a couple of years. You know, and that's just, and I could. That's why I did that, you know. Changed my work schedule. I was working from usually noon to midnight or later. And he, my sponsor was like, well, you know, people that go to 8 o'clock meetings usually stay sober. So why don't you rearrange your work schedule? You know, so I rearranged it to where I'd come in at 10 and leave at 5, and that way I could be at 8 o'clock AA. And he had me praying and, you know, reading spiritual stuff, reading a big book, and sitting quietly, which I never could see the value in. But man, what a difference it made in my life. You know, just doing those, you know, just touching on trying to have some connection with the spirit of the universe. You know, and I think I was. Well, let's see. It was around 4th of July that first year, so I was sober a couple months, right? June, July, a couple months, 3 months maybe. And it was 4th of July night. I had plans to go to see the fireworks, you know, with my ex-wife and my daughter, who's now 26. So how old was she then? 13. And we go to this meeting, go to the Skyland, and there's this new guy. My sponsor starts talking to this guy, and he introduces me. He goes, "And this is Cap." And Cap's been sober a little while, and you know, he starts us talking, and then he leaves. And I'm talking to this guy for like, you know, 45 minutes, and I make arrangements to meet him the next night. And the next day I'm pissed off at my sponsor. I'm like, "Man, I had plans, you know. I had plans for my family." And he goes, "Dude, it's not my fault you talked to that guy for 45 minutes, you know." And it was awesome, you know. Like I discovered the magic that happens here with one alcoholic talking to another. You know, not only was I receiving that from my sponsor, but I was learning to do that with others. You know, and it doesn't take much to learn. You know, if you walk, you know, people get sober and they think they should be in the recovery business because it's a special gift. And it's true, it is a special gift, and we all have it. You know, and I've seen people go crazy when they get paid to give it away. But, so I don't ever. I'm not a big fan of that. I've watched people really go nuts that get involved in that kind of thing. But I really enjoyed it, and I made it important. I made it an important part of my life to make commitments with people and help them get started in AA. Now, something happened around four and a half years, is I got, my, you know, through a series of events, we were getting divorced, my ex-wife and I. And I didn't know what to do with that. You know, I didn't know where to go with that, or outside of we're getting divorced, and it goes like this, you know, and you go and get an attorney, and then you pay money, and you get a divorce, and it's over. But as far as emotionally, I mean, I was lost. And I was going to my sponsor, and he was trying to, I'd always been enthusiastic about AA, but at this point I wasn't. And he was trying to talk it up. He's like, "Man, well, you know, isn't it great you get to like help these people?" And I'm like, "You know what, man? Here's what it feels like. It feels like I'm helping people, and I'm not getting any help. That's what it feels like." And for 2.5 years, I kept him as a sponsor during this time period, and heartached over leaving this group I was in, and the only AA that I was familiar with. And it seemed clear to me that was what I had to do. So I left that group, and I didn't talk to that sponsor anymore. And I had always in the back of my mind had another sponsor picked out. Because my sponsor told me, he said, "If anything happens to me, you want to make sure that, you know, you're covered. You got somebody picked out, so it's just seamless." So this guy that went to Triangle, I got him for a sponsor, and I kind of ran down what was going on, and he took me through the steps. Imagine that, right? And now I had written a lot of 4 steps, you know, but I never did anything with them. Like, he would look them over, and he'd hand them back to me and say, "Rewrite it." And this went on for years. Now, you know, we're talking 7.5 years sober. I'm doing my first 4 step. So what I discovered is what was happening, you know. I mean, I could see how, you know, my past and present and everything was interwoven. And up till that time, at that moment with that guy, and it was revelation, you know, to me. And I would highly suggest, you know, doing it right away. I know that now, the fellows I work with, I generally get them started right away, because, you know, that's what AA is. AA has 12 steps, and that's all, you know, this is all AA has to offer as far as I know, you know, I mean, you know, people go, well, it's always suggested, and it's like, well, this is all we got, you know, this is the suggestion we got, you know, that's it, and so if you're here, you know, take advantage of it. If you're new and you're wondering what this is all about, ask somebody to help you. So I got another home group, and it was this little group, been around a long time, and I thought, I'm going to change this group around. And what I found out is they didn't want to be changed around. So, you know, it's like a little war zone, right? Me against, you know, this little group. And so I thought, well, maybe I should join a group that's is active, you know, and exists already. And so that's how I got into the Fifth Tradition group a couple years ago now. And, you know, I took on the beginners meeting there, which was fun, you know, and I enjoyed that. And that was a year ago, and I haven't done anything since. I feel guilty about not being as involved in as my home group as I should be, but because I was used to taking every position there was and being very active in my home group when that's the way I was brought in. But you know, what I found is, you know, life gets busy, you know. And when I got divorced, I started dating this gal. The next thing I know, there's a little baby, so I got this little 6-year-old now, you know. And I know how I got grown kids. You know, I got two kids that are 26, so I know how that goes. I know that, you know, once they get a certain age, they're pretty much done. You know, they're off living their life and doing their own thing. So I've been spending, you know, as much time as I can with this little daughter of mine, and you know, trying to run a business. Of course, I had to learn how to do that. I remember it was about. I was petrified after I got divorced because I hadn't done any of the bookkeeping or any of that. And my sponsor said, look, you know what? He didn't know what to say, my sponsor, right? But his sponsor was, he's a business guy, you know? And he was like, you know what? Just start doing that stuff. In 3 months, it'll be standard procedure. Won't be a big deal. You won't ever look back on it again. And I was like, it was like letting an air out of a balloon. I was like, oh, it's like a relief, you know, to not making such a big deal out of this thing in my head that turned out to be nothing, you know, just what everybody does that has a business. But so I've been responsible for my own stuff, and that's different. And I'm glad to be doing that. You know, I would boast about what kind of business guy I was and all this, and the truth was, I didn't know the first thing about it. You know, I wanted to take all the credit and what I, you know, my, you know, I was doing good work. I just wasn't, you know, I just wasn't really running a business, you know. And I was like, well, I own two businesses and I, you know, all this crap pretty much. So, let's see. So, that's what I've been doing these days. You know, I'm taking care of my little daughter and taking care of my AA. I'm still sponsoring guys and being involved. And God, I was hoping this would be fabulous, but I'm like out of material pretty much. You know, so you know, I guess this thing just goes the way it wants. So I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cap.
I'm gone away. I never go. Thing I'll in a paper sack. I'm all alone, and I'm lonesome day and night. I need someone's hand, carry me when I'm tired. I can't stay here no more. That mean old bartender just showed me the door. Somewhere, somehow, I'll win my fight someday, and we'll all be together on that broad highway. On that broad highway.